and how can you analyze the measures that need to be taken for a pandemic when you're not measuring it properly? You can't just throw that in there.
Okay, guys, welcome to the first episode of Grammarica Outlawed, a new little show we're starting up here. We've had, you know, we started getting a few YouTube strikes and some videos taken down, and we've had the iTunes shadow ban thing happen before, but we've had the PayPal account go down in the past, and we've been able to kind of come back from all of that without too many problems. The YouTube strikes sort of add up. So, I mean, it seems like an inevitability that eventually those will come to some sort of conclusion. But anyway, it was enough to get us talking about, you know, we feel this responsibility or this call to push back with our voice against COVID and these rushed vaccines and
the Great Reset.
And all this different stuff is important to us, and we feel a need to push back and use our voice and whatever little audience we've got to help spread some alternative information.
Or official information that we're not really getting, through the, you know, the blame stream media, you know, that's cherry picking what they want and twisting it around. Right. I mean, there's a lot of, like, what I want to do with this as well is look at what is the FDA, the WHO and the CDC and Alberta's website. Like we went over that other day, which gives us stats on there. And I'm not saying those stats aren't accurate. Like sometimes they're not, I think they're also not necessarily accurate, but To try
inevitably,
and
it's going to be COVID heavy for a while because we're kind of living through that. And the 9/11 stuff and things like that, a lot of that's probably still going to go in the old feed. You know, it'll be kind of, we're talking about this, the decisions we'll have to make now but there seems to be some clear distinctions on what content is getting kicked off of ND platforms.
I was just going to say,
what's not.
Exactly. Out of ours so far, it's been anything pushing back against Big Pharma, it seems.
Yeah.
The vaccine stuff, the pathologist video, those are the what's getting shadow banned and deleted.
Exactly. And nothing else for that matter.
Yeah. Like
nothing.
We've flown under the radar pretty good.
Until we started pushing back on COVID and vaccines.
Yeah.
And those are the two things that seem to be triggering response. And we don't want to shut up about that, but at the same time, it's not traditional Grammarica content in a lot of ways. And it's not, you know, if you went over, and I just kind of went through the entire back catalog of the Grammarica show, and there's 470 episodes, and, you know, it gets kind of COVID and conspiracy heavier near the end. But if you look at the balance of shows, it's, you know, we're very light on conspiracy for the most part. We get into chemtrails here and there, you know, but for the most part, it was a balance of a whole bunch of stuff, an amalgamation of whatever interested us. And we don't want to risk that, because we're like, well, what happens if we wake up one day and the PayPal shut off and everything we've built is gone in that regard?
Yeah, like all the stuff on psychedelics and UFOs and spirituality,
important work,
you know.
Yeah. Arguably just as important or more important than anything we're going to talk about on COVID. And, you know, we've got backups of everything, but still, if it goes down, it's a mess. I mean, Alex Jones is struggling to recover from a deplatforming. And if we're just trying to figure out a way to have our cake and eat it too, and we figure this will work. So we're going to keep pumping out the weekly Grammarica shows, and we've had this black budget feed. So you'll notice there's like probably 25 or 30 episodes before this. This was kind of...
Actually, I think it might be closer to 40 or 60.
Is it that many? Anyway, there's a bunch of episodes in the back catalog of stuff that we've removed all the audiobooks and anything like that that we had that was used to be...
Available to people.
Supporter-only content. And we've just opened that feed up and published it in iTunes and rebranded it as Grammarica Outlawed, which is what brought you here. And... I mean, it's pretty much going to be the exact same show in a lot of ways. Like, we're not going to put any more spin on it. We might do more shows together. We're not going to have an intro on these. But that being said, there might be more shows where it's just Graham and I discussing stuff or breaking down an article, or Graham might read some articles here that didn't
feed. Studies, maybe? Even some studies. I might even just have, like, you know, maybe an episode will be like three studies on vitamin D or something that are just read that you can listen to instead of having to read yourself. Like it'll be kind of Grimerica reads so you can listen type thing or.
Yeah, we're going to start populating it with interviews as well, where we can focus on COVID and this sort of more controversial stuff. And we can kind of treat it as if it gets deplatformed, well, we'll just start it up again. And what we've done is we've done a separate website. I mean, it's on our, the website's on our server anyway, so it's not such a big deal, but we've done separate website, separate PayPal accounts, separate YouTube channel, and maybe eventually separate social media. I don't know. I mean, this Grimerica social media is in enough trouble already, but it's kind of working in that direction where we can completely separate the two. And it just takes a little bit. It takes a little bit of the heat or the risk off of the regular feed. And B, it kind of clears up the internal struggle we've been having of how much COVID research to show us to do or how much pushback to do. Versus traditional content and distraction.
Do we talk about it in the intro? Because we kind of like have a, it's been a week and all of a sudden there's a bit of an update, whether it's locally or somewhere else, you know, like for example, there's stuff like the WHO and the FDA coming out and talking about PCR cycle thresholds. And I mean, it's starting to come to official sources that stuff that we've been talking about for months is starting to open up.
Yeah. And then some shows might even end up in both feeds. Like, I think we're having a show coming up with, like, the JCCF lawyers here in Alberta that are fighting for a bunch of constitutional freedoms, and they're going to, like, you know, some shows might end up in both feeds. I don't know, because I think down the road we're going to eventually have the point where, I mean, in the beginning, it's most of you guys are coming over from Grimerica, let's be honest. You know, you guys have come over because we've launched a new show and you're loyal supporters of us, and we appreciate you and love you for that. But foreseeably down the line, the more conspiracy stuff and the... all that is eventually, you know, we can foresee it becoming two sort of separate entities where there's not as much, you know, where maybe there's only 20 or 30% overlap and each show kind of has its own separate audience. Because I mean, some of you aren't going to bother tuning into the COVID stuff and other people are only interested in the conspiracy stuff. So
yeah,
that's so some, if you see, you might see some episodes in both feeds is my point.
Huh. Okay. We didn't really talk about that before, but that's fine.
That's on the fly.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it till just then.
Oh my God. I mean, another example is how the WHO changed.
That's an example of how we're not going to change how we do things to a certain extent. Yeah. So it's not about a new show or a new brand or a new persona. It's about doing our show and the other, but protecting our show at the same time. It's just letting it evolve. It seems like an evolution.
Yeah.
One thing we're going to do is because our aim is to have both feeds be just, you know, that we've often, good old cats. We always talk about, you know, I always preach on how you need to have a regular episode and blah, blah, blah. And we're going to try and keep the Grimerica feed won't change. It'll stay as regular as it is now. And the goal is to have this one try and be as regular as possible too. And
but it might be different. Like it might be different. Populated with smaller, shorter episodes. Like I've got a couple articles that I've read already that I want you to edit and pop in the feed.
Pop in here.
So it'll just be like an hour or two of me reading an article on the takeover of the world or something, for example.
And a lot of interviews.
And then maybe we want to just do shoot the shit for 20 minutes and have it as a separate episode too. So that doesn't mean that that's going to be the weekly episode. It could be more.
No, one noticeable difference is what we're going to, because we were talking about it, and if we're doing one weekly, two weekly shows, is the intros are going to get weird to try and do. So what we're going to do with this feed is there's not going to be intros like there is on every Grimerica show. There might be on some, there might not be on others. The intro might just be as we bring the guest in, we might just do the little intro blurb there and, you know, to kind of get the show rolling, but it's just... to try and pump out all those intros would just sort of hang up the feed and it just seems... sort of pointless. So we're just going to jump into those episodes.
Yeah, and, difference. And we might have like a generic outro or something or a generic intro. Well, I don't even want to have a generic intro either, really.
No, I want it to just be...
into the content.
But into the content. Yeah. We play the intro jingle. We can...
yeah.
Hey, this is who we're talking to, blah, blah, blah. We can maybe hang up with them and do the whole support spiel because it's all going to be... you know, now the Black Budget feed, which is now called Grimerica Outlawed and is now freely available on Spotify and everywhere else you can get podcasts. So now everything's gone value for value.
Yeah.
Clearly. So we'll have Grimerica.
I mean, the other stuff was before too. Let's not kid ourselves. You could get it. We were giving it away for free as well.
If people asked.
If people asked. Yeah. So
now it's just going to publish just like Grimerica does, or just like any other podcast. And we're just going to ask you to support it, just like we do on our other show, just like we do on Grimerica. Except here the link is grimericaoutlawed.ca/support. And, you know, if you go to grimericaoutlawed.ca, the page is very rudimentary right now. There's a support page. There's another page you can go to that'll have all the past episodes and the most recent episodes, and you can either download them or listen to them there. Obviously, you can get this wherever you got it. You can get it in all the podcast players, YouTube, all those places as well. Where was I going with that? It's staying like that. And the reason is we're actually in the middle of working with friend of the show, Mark Sloan, who's doing some website work for us, and he's redesigning the page. So once the new Grimerica page is launched, we're just going to clone it so that the Grimerica Outlawed and Grimerica both look identical. The only difference will be the content. So if you go to the page right now, it does look kind of, I mean, it's not bad. I whipped it up in a couple hours. I'm going to fix it up a little bit more over the weekend to get us through the first couple of months, but we're working on a redesign of the Grimerica show page, which will then be cloned over to this show as well. And so that's it. But everything important is there. I mean, our emails aren't changing. Darren@grimerica.com, graham@grimerica.com. You can still track us down all the same ways. This is just a new RSS feed.
Yeah.
And it's the reason is that if a new PayPal account, and you know, if you're already supporting one, you don't have to support the other. You don't have to support it all. But if you can support the show, grimericaoutlawed.ca/support, because the goal would be that if they deplatform this show, we still have the Grimerica show to kind of fall back on and announce the new feed, which we'll just launch a couple weeks later, which will be like Grimerica
Rogue Works.
Yeah, we'll just keep pumping them out, man. And as long as our hope is that as long as we insulate the main show, we always sort of have that option.
And that might not even be possible. I mean, but either way, we want to rant about some of these more controversial topics, and it's going to be a challenge. I mean, we needed
a new soapbox.
I want to make sure we're looking at it takes work to go to the original source. I mean, you see all these memes out there about this vaccine did this or that, had this reaction, or you know, the who said this about PCR. But I mean, you can't just read the memes. You got to go to the website and you got to try and figure it out. And we're going to be looking at a lot of articles and a lot of studies and a lot of, you know, official websites. I was digging through the CDC one the other day, and I came across that meme about the green map for flu. Like, that's a real map on the CDC website. The green flu map is right there. I stumbled across it searching through the CDC run, right? And that's a meme that you see all over, like, hey, here's the flu this year compared to previous years.
So what's the gist?
That the flu's disappeared, right? That it's gone. Because it has. It has gone.
The cat's on the table and the silver spoon. I thought I closed the door, bro. I'm sorry. It's just these fucking tuxedo cats.
Oh, yeah.
They do whatever they want.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Walk on the keyboard.
Oh, yeah. They love the keyboards.
Jagger sent us over four takes of him saying outlaw.
Already? Wow, that was fast. That was all during the intro.
Yeah. This is how we roll.
Outlawed.
He said it's hard to say outlawed without a southern twang.
That's okay.
This is perfect.
So, I mean, I do have a clip to play too about the vaccines from an official source. You know, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, part of my goal is to use official sources and also studies that aren't so official, but to show that, you know, what you hear in the mainstream is a lot of times it's exaggerated, spun, or an outright lie. I mean, but then again, I talked to two people this week that have had COVID, and one of them
almost died.
A friend, young friend in his 30s, an athlete. He was practicing kickboxing and stuff, and he's always in good shape. Vitamin levels good. He's got long COVID, he says. You know, he's been 9 weeks now. He's been struggling with this. So it's a delicate thing. I mean, and I've been hearing Ivor Cummins, who's been a fantastic source from Ireland on YouTube, which I can't believe he's still on YouTube, but he's going to get booted pretty quick. And I mean, he's talked about the long COVID and that I think what my friend's doctor said as well, which which matches what he said, is that this is what happens with viral infections. Like some people get like mono type thing. It'll last for a while. It'll affect you for a while. But, you know, I'm sure he has a different take than we do on it because he's been suffering for 9 weeks. So, I mean, we have to be sensitive as well that this is, people are getting sick. I mean, we're not trying to say that this is all a big hoax or anything like that. You know, I just personally myself, I just don't agree with the way it's been brought. I don't agree with the measures. I think they're worse than the actual thing. I think it's a hoax. And I heard the Alberta, like I just happened today on the way here. I was listening to our Alberta update and it was very vaccine orientated. And
it's kind of creepy. So like, I think it's a fucking hoax. Because I get there's more people dying than the flu. Fine. But if you take a look at the list of comorbidities in Alberta, the flu's not fucking one of them. The comorbidities are hypertension, dementia, diabetes, and a bunch of shit that people are dying from anyway. So you've got to figure out, it's not as simple as doing flu versus COVID. You've got to factor in, you know, how many people did the Alberta government now say died of hypertension this year? I'll tell you how many. Fucking zero.
Yeah.
Unless it's a comorbidity with COVID.
I know that comes back to the stats and how they've officially told us. Again, this is official stuff. They've said if you die with COVID and not from it, we're putting COVID down on the death certificate. How can that not be alarming to people?
I know.
How can you do any research and stats and how can you analyze the measures that need to be taken for a pandemic when you're not measuring it properly? You can't just throw that in there. And Ivor said this recently too, within 28 days. So I don't know if that's official in Canada. I heard it a while back. I don't know if they're still doing it, but I know they're doing it in some places where 28 days, if you've tested for positive within 28 days, you're still put down as a COVID death. How can that be allowed? How can anybody agree that that's a good idea?
Well, I know two people who had relatives die, not from COVID, who hadn't even been tested for COVID. I think actually, I don't know, can they test you after the fact?
Yeah, well, the PCR can fucking, you can figure out anything.
Anyway, I know two people.
No, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, yeah, they can test, I think they can test you afterwards, right? I mean, they can just just swab you and run it through the cycle threshold, like the PCR testing.
One was a heart attack and one was a car accident, I think. And both these guys got letters, or their families got letters, or someone got a letter saying that they're sending you a letter saying that we're putting COVID on the.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not fair, man. That's not right. And we've heard from somebody else. We personally know, I mean, these are personal stories. So it's not like we're hearing memes on the internet or anything like that, that the family in another country in the Middle East was offered money to put COVID on the death certificate. So basically they're splitting the WHO financing to put COVID on the death certificate. So how do you explain all this to a guy that's had it for 9 weeks, for example? You know, I mean, we've done a lot of research and there's a lot of holes in it and I just don't trust it, but I'm sure he sees that there's a narrative out there to lessen the fear. The one that obviously that probably closer to what we're following, but the long flu is a thing. I mean, people were talking, I don't know if it was called the long flu, but people had it in the '80s and nineties where, you know, that it's, and his doctor even said it's normal for viral infections to go on like that.
Oh yeah. It does say that, you can get prolonged flu. Prolonged flu. Why would you get prolonged flu? How long is too long for the flu? For most healthy people, the flu is an uncomfortable but short-term illness that resolves itself as the immune system fights it off. Symptoms usually appear from 1 to 4 days after exposure. This is from Harvard.
So this is a clip I have about talking about the vaccine. Can I play
for it? Other people, the symptoms may last longer. So, you know, how it doesn't say how long.
I know. That's the thing. So there's this, he says it's athletes somehow. And I don't know if that's because athletes are in better shape and they notice when they have a respiratory problem when they go to work out a month after, you know?
Yeah.
It might be something like that, but I think why is it happening to athletes? I don't know. But then, you know, again, I was going to ask him, well, where's your source about all these other athletes? Because I sort of said, isn't that a rare thing? And he says, no, man, like all these athletes are getting the long COVID. So, I mean, it's one thing to see it on a YouTube video from a guy talking about it. And I couldn't remember what they were referencing. Like I had heard about this prior, people discussing back and forth whether it was a real thing. And I think they came to the conclusion that what you just read is some things for some people last longer than a few days. But then, you know, then this vaccine, the vaccine push, geez, you sent me a thing from the new, I mean, there's so much content to talk about. I mean, it really, there was that New York, what would you even call that? It was about they're allowing people to be apprehended if they refuse a vaccine and all that. I mean, there's a whole document that needs to be discussed and read. I've heard some people talk about it already. It was only a few days ago. But there's some disgusting stuff happening. And then here's the WHO. This is from the Post-Millennial. This is a video of the WHO chief scientist. I did see this somewhere else as well. Says there's not enough evidence that COVID vaccine prevents infection. So can I play this quickly?
Yeah.
Now we continue to wait for more results from the vaccine trials. Is to really understand if these vaccines, apart from preventing symptomatic disease and severe disease and deaths, whether they're also going to reduce infections or prevent people from getting infected with the virus, prevent them from passing it on or transmitting it to other people. At the moment, I don't believe we have the evidence on any of the vaccines to be confident that it's going to prevent people from actually getting the infection and therefore being able to pass it on. So I think till we know more, we need to assume that people who have been vaccinated also need to take the same precautions till there's a certain level of herd immunity, of course, that's been built in the population. So again, this is a dynamic and evolving field. And I think our understanding and our recommendations will change as we get more follow-up data from these trials.
So I don't know. They still don't know. So why are we vaccinating then? Why are we vaccinating everybody? Why aren't we just vaccinating the people that don't want the symptoms? Then fine. If you want to vaccinate and have some older people vaccinated that are at risk, then fine.
Yeah.
Don't force it on other people. I mean, what is the point? What is the fucking point?
The choice should really come down to whether or not you're willing to deal with the symptoms.
And I'm willing to deal with long COVID. I mean, if that's what it comes down to, if my athlete friend has got this and it's really long COVID, then that's, to me, as bad as it's going to get. I don't think I'm going to die. Like even in the Alberta, the official Alberta thing, right? They just said a 50-something-year-old woman died of COVID. COVID complications are of COVID. Tonight I heard this. And they don't say anything else. You can't give us any more information. I'd like to see what happened in that case. Was it from COVID or was she tested 28 days before and she's sick with something else? I mean, I hate to even question. I don't even want to have to question these things. I don't like having to question these things. But we've heard so much bullshit from official sources that I feel like we need to know that.
Well, not only that. So let's go to here's that thing I got for you. The state of New York. And then I'm on legislation.nysenate.
So yeah, another official. So you're on the official Senate.
/PDF/bills/. You'll put it in the show notes.
Yep.
So here we've got.
I was going to read that actually
in assembly, pre-filed January 6th, 2021. So this goes into effect, I would assume, tomorrow. Pre-filed.
Holy fuck. It happens to be tomorrow?
Introduced M. of A. Perry, read once and referred to the Committee on Health, an act to amend public health law in relation to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. All the people who are calling the people talking about camps crazy 8-9 months ago, you owe somebody a fucking apology. Because this is state legislation in New York. Okay. The people of the state of New York represented in Senate and Assembly do enact as follows. Section 1, the public health law is amended by adding a new section, 2120-A, to read as follows. A, removable and detention of cases, contacts, and carriers who are or may be a danger to public health. Other orders. The provisions of this section shall be utilized in the event that the governor declares a state of health emergency due to an epidemic of any communicable disease. 2, upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case, contact, or carrier, or suspected case, contact, or carrier of a contagious disease, that, in the opinion of the governor, after consultation with the commissioner...
Governor who? Cuomo in that case?
Yep. May pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health resulting in severe morbidity or high mortality... The governor or his or her delegee, including but not limited to the commissioner or heads of the local health departments, may order the removal and or detention of such a person or of a group of such persons by issuing a single order, identifying such persons either by name or by reasonably specific description of the individuals or group being detained. Such person or group of persons shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premise designated by the governor or his or her delegee and complying with subdivision 5 of this section. 3. A person or group removed or detained by order of the governor or his or her delegee pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section shall be detained for such period and in such manner as the department may direct in accordance with this section. 4. Notwithstanding any inconsistent provisions of this section, A. A confirmed case or carrier who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section shall not continue to be detained after the department determines that such a person is no longer contagious. B. A suspected case or suspected carrier who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section shall not continue to be detained after the department determines, with the exercise of due diligence, that such a person is not infected with or has not been exposed to such a disease. Or if infected
with... Now, can you imagine using the PCR test to figure that out? All they can do is adjust the fucking cycle threshold.
Or if infected with or exposed to such a disease, no longer is or will become contagious. So maybe they got vaccinated. A person,
or maybe they got a vaccine and it didn't matter.
C. A person who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section as a contact of a confirmed case or carrier shall not continue. So now they can just send someone to your house and make you a contact. Shall not continue to be detained after the department determines that that person is not infected with the disease or that such a contact no longer presents a potential danger to the health of others.
What do you mean send somebody to your house like that has it?
Well, you just have to be a contact. So they could just throw someone on the train with you or get someone.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
If they wanted you. In Alberta, you can just name someone. If I test positive for COVID, I could just say Graham Dunlop, even if I haven't seen
you. And then all of a sudden you're a close contact, right?
Or you have to prove that you're not, which I don't know how that's going to work. It hasn't been weaponized yet, but it could be. D, a person who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section as a contact of a suspected case shall not continue to be detained. I, after the department determines with the exercise of all due diligence that the suspected case was not infected with such a disease or was not contagious at the time of contact was exposed to such an individual. Or, after the department determines he's no longer a danger. 5, a person who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section shall, as appropriate to the circumstance, A, have his or her medical condition and needs assessed and addressed on a regular basis, and B, be detained in a manner that is consistent with recognized isolation and infection control principles in order to minimize the likelihood of transmission of infection to such a person and to others. So, should I keep going?
Well, no, I don't think you need to. I mean, I'll put it in the show notes, but you could summarize that, and it's a dystopian fucking novel, right? It's basically saying, from what I get from it, that if they think you're transmitting a disease like COVID, they can just take you away, basically, right?
Yeah, that seems to be what it
until is. Until they say that you're not transmissible anymore.
When a person or group is ordered to be detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section for a period not exceeding 3 business days, such person or member of group shall, upon request, be afforded an opportunity to be heard. If a person or group detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section needs to be detained beyond 3 business days, they shall be provided with an additional commissioner's order pursuant to subdivision 2 and 8 of this section. 7. When a person or group is ordered to be detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section for a period exceeding 3 business days, and such a person or member of such a group requests release, the governor or his or her delegee shall make an application for a court order authorizing such detention within 3 business days. After such request by the end of the first business day, following such Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, which application shall include a request for expedited hearing. After any such request for release, detention shall not continue for more than 5 business days in the absence of a court order authorizing detention, notwithstanding the foregoing provisions. In no event shall any person be detained more than 60 days without a court order authorizing such detention. 60 fucking days. In no event shall any person be detained for more than 60 days without a court order authorizing such detention. The governor or his or her delegee shall seek further court review of such detention within 90 days following the initial court order authorizing detention. What are you still contagious of in 60 days? Why do you need to put 60 days in there? What kind of games are we playing?
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And if that's based on the PCR test, which it very well could be, because they're still using it 10 months later, it's the perfect tool for control. I mean, the FDA even says here, the FDA today joined the WHO and Dr. Fauci in admitting there's a notable risk of false positives from the standard PCR test used to define whether an individual is a COVID case or not. This is from Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden. This matters significantly as it fits perfect with the fake rescue plan we have previously described that would occur once Biden admin took office. But before we get to that conspiracy, we need a little background on how the world got here. So he talks about they've detailed the controversy surrounding America's COVID case demic and the misleading results. And it comes down to, as a reminder, these cycle thresholds are at the level which widely used polymerase chain reaction, the PCR test, can detect a sample of the COVID virus. So we've talked about this a lot in another show, but the higher the number of cycles, the lower the amount of the viral load in the sample. The lower the cycles, the more prevalent the virus was in the original sample. So it gives a graphic here on how the PCR works. And then it says, numerous epidemiological experts have argued that cycle thresholds are an important metric by which patients, the public, and the policymakers can make more informed decisions about how infectious and or sick an individual with a positive test might be. But just as the news reports, health departments across the country are failing to collect that data. Like, remember we talked about Florida actually pushing quietly to disclose the cycle threshold counts on all their tests. So here are a few headlines from those experts in scientific studies. Experts compiled 3 data sets where officials from the states of Massachusetts, New York, and Nevada that conclude up to 90% of the people who tested positive did not carry a virus. The Wadsworth Center, this is number 2, a New York State lab, analyzed the results of its July test at the request of the New York Times, 794 positive tests with a CT of 40, with a CT threshold of 35, approximately half of these PCR tests would no longer be considered positive. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
You drop it by 5 cycles and half of those go away. And about 70% would no longer be considered positive with a CT of 30. And number 3, an appeals court in Portugal ruled that the PCR process is not a reliable test for SARS-CoV-2. Number 4, a new study from the Infectious Disease Society of America found that 25 cycles of amplification, 70% of PCR positives are not cases since the virus cannot be cultured. It's dead. And by 35, 97% of the positives are non-clinical. Number five, PCR test is not for testing for disease. It's testing for a specific RNA pattern, and this is the key pivot. When you crank it up to 25, 70% of the positive results are not really positives in any clinical sense, since it cannot make you or anyone else sick. So in summary, with regard to our case-demic, positive tests, as they are counted today, do not indicate a case of anything. They indicate that viral RNA was found in a nasal swab. It may be enough to make you sick, but according to New York and their experts, probably won't. And certainly not sufficient replication of the virus to make anyone else sick. But you will be sent home for 10 days anyways, or sent to a fucking camp like you're talking about in New York, even if you have a sniffle, or even if you never have a sniffle.
Isn't that something?
And this is the number the media breathlessly reports and is used to fearmonger mask mandates and lockdowns nationwide. I mean, it goes on and on. So I'm not going to read the whole thing because that's, but I mean, it does go on and on here. I mean, I could read the whole thing. Maybe that's what I'll do one of these days, is read a bunch of these things for the show, like verbatim.
But, well, I mean, I only got halfway through the legislation thing there. So, I mean, that could be another thing that could be interesting because no one reads this shit, and maybe it's time that someone started reading it.
And then just have it out there in audio so people can fucking listen to it.
And we could even do a, hey, New York people, listen up. Because this one's specific to New York State, and there could be ones that are more specific to Alberta California.
And just to add more context to the PCR thing, this is from the WHO. I might as well just highlight it now. This is from their website. Nucleic acid testing. This is a couple weeks old, so people probably already know about it. But just to reiterate from the official fucking source, technologies that use real-time polymerase chain reaction for detection of SARS-CoV-2. And it talks about the description of the problem. WHO has received user feedback on an elevated risk for false SARS-CoV-2 results when testing specimens using RT-PCR reagents on open systems. So as with any diagnostic procedure, the positive and negative predictive values for a product in the given testing population are important to note. And then they go in to talk about the positivity rates. This means that the probability that a person who has a positive result is truly infected decreases as positivity rate decreases. I don't understand that part, but irrespectively of the assay specificity. Therefore, healthcare providers are encouraged to take into consideration testing results along with clinical signs and symptoms confirm status of any contacts. So they're already saying don't rely on the PCR test there. This is the WHO's website. This is what would get you banned December 13th before this came out, but on December 14th, it's okay to talk about it on YouTube because who said it now? You know
so
what
it
I mean?
Okay. It's so, is it specific? Is it officially
No,
okay?
It's not okay. I'm just being facetious that the WHO is flip-flopping so much. Fauci's flip-flopping so much. The CDC's data changes and YouTube only allows this official stuff, but when it only fits their narrative basically. So you can listen to Fauci back when now you can listen to Fauci 2021, but not Fauci 2020, when he said masks were useless. Or when he said the thresholds should be under 35. You see what I'm getting at? This is the another reason why we're doing the show. Because the censorship is ass backwards. It's bogus. You can't say because you're going against the WHO. Because the WHO's just telling you right now, don't rely on the fucking PCR test. Users of RT-PCR reagents should read the IFU carefully to determine if manual adjustment of the PCR positivity threshold is necessary to account for any background noise, which may lead to a specimen with a high cycle threshold being interpreted as a positive result. Right on the WHO. The design principle means that for patients with high levels of circulating virus, viral load, relatively few cycles will be needed to detect the virus, and so the CT value will be low. Conversely, when specimens return a high CT value, it means that many cycles were required to detect virus. In some circumstances, The distinction between background noise and actual presence of the target virus is difficult to ascertain. Thus, the IFU will state how to interpret specimens at or near the limit for PCR positivity. In some cases, the IFU will state that the cutoff should be manually adjusted to ensure that specimens with high CT values are not incorrectly assigned SARS-CoV-2 detected due to background noise. I thought it talked about the actual thresholds in here.
How quick would you get a vaccine if they locked you in a rubber room by yourself for 60 days at a time?
Me? No, I'm not getting it no matter what.
And then they let you out for like 3 days and they throw you back in for another 60. Because like a pretty good mechanism to get people to do whatever the fuck they want.
With the vaccine, what they don't even know yet about it, really. Truly. Like, this is all official stuff.
Get the fuck out of New York. Escape from New York. Man, what's next? Escape from L.A. But New York's a state. Anyway, I think that probably comes to the...
Yeah, I'm glad we got to hash out some of that stuff. I mean, this is kind of stuff I've been saving up and, you know, that we wanted to rant about. Again, it's stuff that comes from official sources, which really blows a lot of holes in what's happening. I mean, I think it does. It just doesn't make logical sense. I mean, it's honestly, to me personally, it's becoming harder and harder to deal with the fucking lie that's happening right now.
Yeah, which is why we're here. Which is why we're here doing the new feed, doing more content. We feel compelled to do something. And this is what we're doing. So if you like what we're doing, grammaricaoutlaw.ca.
Slash support will be there, right?
Slash support works now.
All right,
you can be one of the first people to ever support this show. Brando already got number one. He supported before there was even a website.
Thanks, Brando.
Thanks, Brando. We love you, buddy. GrimericaOutlaw.ca/support. GrimericaOutlaw.ca is the website. There's a podcast player there. The RSS feed, you know already. If you got this far, the RSS is on the website too if you need it. It is just the old black budget RSS. There's also like 30 or 40 weird apps in the back catalog to
Yeah, there's to some check good out. Stuff back there too. I was going to go through it before we had this to sort of highlight some of those, but
I mean,
we can talk about it again on a future thing. And if people have articles or studies that they want read or that they want us to talk about, I mean, I think it's probably a good idea to start putting it in the chats. We'll make a channel in the chats, or they can email Graham at grahamerica.com. You know, I've been keeping an email folder with all the stuff and populating our note thing here with a bunch of shit to go through. I mean, it's overwhelming, really. But I think it's good to just hash some of this stuff out.
Totally.
From official sources.
I'm going to set up Graham at grahamericaoutlaw.ca and com so they forward to you. Of course, we got the .ca and the .com, so they'll automatically the .com redirects to the .ca just like Grimerica. And what I'll do is I'll make an outlawed email address that just automatically forwards for each of us. And yeah, this is the new show. We'd love it if you can support it. GrimericaOutlaw.ca/chats. It's just going to bring you the same chats as the Grimerica chats because we don't have two chat rooms.
That's okay. Maybe we just make an outlawed channel in there too, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. We can just make a channel.
Yeah.
There's no point in divvying that up, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. I mean, the news, I was going to talk about the newsletter too, because I mean, that's one of the things they can just, that monkey. What's that?
We should have
it. They can just shut you off too, right? I mean, people have had their newsletters taken away, so.
We don't do much with the newsletter.
No, but you're right. It's sort of more of just highlighting the episodes upcoming and stuff like that. I mean, Adam's been great helping with it. And before that, Justin volunteering to help. But.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should do this newsletter. It could be like a collection of. Like articles and stuff like that as well, like a resource if we start reading things or doing that, or, you know, even if we can't, if we can only touch on stuff, like it'd be nice to not just have this in the newsletter, but to get that in your,
almost be show notes in a way,
or at least the week show notes are the newsletter.
The one
that's not a bad idea for the Grimerica newsletter is just have it be the show notes that compels people to check out the episode.
Yeah. afterwards, though, or prior? Because usually the newsletter is a notification of something upcoming, but it could also be a notification.
Yeah. It's become a notification for the live show, is what it's
yeah,
become.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but it could also be, I guess, a summary of the app.
Could come out at the same time as the app.
I was going to read this other thing, but we'll save it for next time. But why the WHO faked a pandemic? And it's an article from Forbes back in 2010, which brings some additional context to what's happening, I would say. So maybe we'll save that for like a deeper Great Reset type episode.
Yeah, we'll get into all that. We got a bunch of interviews lined up. And I mean, the show will be weekly at least for the foreseeable future. We got interviews. We got stuff I've already got to edit to get in here. There's a back catalog to get through. As of right now, we have no ratings, no reviews, and one supporter. So if you like what we're doing here.
Welcome aboard.
If you like the new direction we're heading in, the loose cannons gone rogue. I made that the tagline for the new website.
I like it.
So we love you. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Don't get comfortable, free thinkers. Rage against.